Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. In today's conversation with Jim Sloan, director of FinCEN at the U.S. Department of Treasury. Joining us in our conversation is Kent Owens, a PwC consultant. Well, Jim, in the last segment, we were talking about technology, and you were describing how technology is used at FinCEN.
Well, Paul, I think actually what I was talking about was the volume of information that we get in, and there were two points I was trying to make, and that we were trying to obviously make certain that the information that we do get is of value and utility to the people that we provide a product to. At the same point, the fact that the volume of information requires us to exploit technology perhaps as much, if not more, than most agencies. With a small staff, leveraging that staff and the data with what I think is cutting-edge technology has become very important. By the same token, we want to make sure that we're not creating a technological instruments that we can't replicate, because we also need to be able to take technology and allow our customers, if you will, to be able to use the data with some technology that we can provide them. So oftentimes we will take off-the-shelf technology and convert it to our use and modify it in a way that makes sense to our needs. But chief among that area would be the use of artificial intelligence and the ability to zero in on the information that's provided in these reports that would come in a narrative form and be able to connect the dots. The value of our analytical activity is that we are connecting dots. We get 12 or 13 million currency transaction reports. We get currency and monetary instrument reports of the money that flows back and forth across the border that customs collects. We get information at a rate of about 10,000 a month from financial institutions on suspicious activity reporting. We have to have the ability to make sense of this data. We will probably never be able to say that one particular report leads to one particular event in law enforcement, but I do think that we are at the point now where our technology allows us to go through that data and develop patterns and trends that can give clues to law enforcement with regard to money laundering, whether it's in terrorism, whether it's in narco activity, fraud activity that might not have been readily evident to the law enforcement community prior to that analysis with our technology. So the bottom line is that technology plays a tremendously important role at FinCEN in order to deal with the amount of data that we're required to deal with.
Jim, since September the 11th, I imagine that FinCEN has experienced a significant increase in workload. What challenges has this created, and what steps are you taking to meet the growing demand for your services?
Well, we're working very closely with the Department of the Treasury, particularly the Office of Enforcement and the Office of Management, to make certain that as our workload increases, that we are able to keep our head above water and that we've got the resources that we need in order to satisfy our mission, to include the mission that has expanded somewhat as a result of the Patriot Act. But to get back to the first part of your question, I think we calculated shortly after September 11th that about 30% of our activity, at least 30% of our activity, was diverted from our what then had been our core function to issues dealing with a direct result of the attacks, which we would probably call counterterrorism or terrorist-related activity. In fact, our stock and trade, of course, is information, and a lot of the information that we received prior to September 11th and then after September 11th was from suspicious activity reporting from financial institutions. We immediately began the week after the attack operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, something that we had never done. And the reason for that was that we established a hotline, if you will, for financial institutions to report to us the essence of suspicious transactions in more real time. The law for suspicious activity reporting will allow a financial institution between 30 and 60 days to report to us in the normal course of business. I think it was clear to everybody that the events of September 11th made real-time reporting of greater importance and urgency. So that alone required us, and to this day requires us, to expend more resources in the efforts following September 11th than we probably had planned as we were looking forward and estimating what our resource requirements would be as we entered O2.
As you've talked about the different things FinCEN does, I've heard you sort of describe yourself as part of the financial community, the law enforcement community, and even the regulatory community. And so I'm just sort of curious how you manage issues across that group that perhaps might have different perspectives at some times.
But we've got a lot of stakeholders, and that's why we are called a network. In fact, when we became a bureau, there was some discussion as to what would we call ourselves, the Bureau of Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. It just didn't seem to fit, because it was important to me, and I think to most of the people who work at FinCEN, that we retain within our title the term network. We network a lot of the stakeholders in ways that don't become evident until they've received a phone call or a tap on the shoulder, if you will, from FinCEN. I mean, to give you a perfect example, we have a process at FinCEN known as Gateway, in which the state governments, all trained by FinCEN and all audited by FinCEN for the integrity of the data, can come to FinCEN and share in some of the information for criminal investigative activity that the Bank Secrecy Act provides. If, for instance, the Attorney General's office in Missouri were to come into FinCEN looking for information about Mr. X, and the FBI were looking for information on the same person because they were working two different types of cases, the FBI might be working a terrorism case and the state of Missouri might be working a narcotics case. And of course, there's a link, and we will be able to alert both of them by making sure that they aren't working at cross purposes, and they understand that they may want to join forces and go after the same person. But we also are a network because we are very heavily involved with our partners in the regulatory community, the bank regulators, the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, the Comptroller of the Currency, Thrift Supervision, the National Credit Union Administration. We must network with the examination functions in the money service business, which is the IRS exam, or with the Securities and Exchange Commission and the self-regulating organizations in the securities industry, the New York Stock Exchange and the NASD. We also have networking responsibilities with Congress. We can supply to Congress for their oversight responsibility, or GAO for its investigative responsibilities, information that might help move them in the directions that might otherwise be unseen relative to money laundering activity or terrorist activity or fraud activity. So we have a lot of clients and customers, some of whom probably don't come to the same table anywhere else in government, but do at FinCEN. And the beauty of FinCEN, I think, or one of the beauties, is that we investigate nothing on our own. Our success is measured in the success of all of those agencies. And I think there's an understanding that because we do not investigate anything on our own, and that we are there to share information and to make certain that everybody is sort of working together and not at cross purposes, we probably find ourselves in a unique role in government where turf battles don't exist at FinCEN. It's counter to our mission. And I think everybody who enjoys our services, all 150 who are there full time in agencies, or the ones that come in through the states, or the ones that come in on a part-time basis, understand that. And I think it's one of the things that we're most proud of.
Given this interagency coordination that you speak of that takes place, what mechanisms at FinCEN do you have in place to sort of make sure these happen and coordinated across these agencies?
Well, we have several, of course, not the least of which is the one I just mentioned about an alert system and a pointer system to make certain that we are not having two agencies conflict with one another. In fact, we might consider ourselves a deconfliction tool. I mean, certainly there are cases in which we wouldn't do that. I mean, public corruption cases or national security cases, we're certainly going to default to the agencies that are working those cases to make sure that we don't damage the case by sending the information off into the network and somehow causing the case to be contaminated in some way. But for the most part, we share the information by sharing leads and pointing one agency in the direction of another if they're working the same case. But beyond that, I think that the greatest sense of cooperation comes from the fact that we oftentimes will proactively develop leads. I mentioned earlier that the FinCEN Office of Strategic Analysis will look through this massive database, look for trends and patterns, and develop a lead. We will then take those leads and provide them to what we call an interagency coordinating group at FinCEN. If you recall, just about every agency at the federal government that has a need for this information sits at FinCEN, and we meet regularly, and we share the information with them, and determinations are made as to how best proceed with that type of lead or information.
That's a good stopping point for this segment. Rejoin us after the break as we continue our conversation with Jim Sloan of FinCEN. In the last segment, we'll ask him to pull out his crystal ball and tell us what the future holds for them. This is the Business of Government.